Welcome to Come and Reason with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Tim Jennings. Together we will reason through complex issues to find evidence-based answers that harmonize scripture, science, and our life experiences. I'm your Come and Reason host, Charles Mills. This program is sponsored by Come and Reason Ministries. Welcome, everyone. So glad you tuned in. Dr. Jennings is with us via Skype to talk about someone the Bible calls the lawless one. Well, in today's world, you're probably thinking, which one? There are so many to choose from. Help us out here, Dr. Jennings. Who is the lawless one, and why is it important that we know about him or her?
We're going to spend some time during our few minutes today kind of unpacking what Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 12. We'll see how far we get.
Okay.
But that's where we have this terminology, the lawless one, that Paul is referring to. But before we do, I just want to say that Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only few find it. That's Matthew 7, 13, and 14. Mm-hmm. There is only one path of truth. There's one God, one truth, one Savior, and that's why it's described as narrow. Mm-hmm. Not because it's restrictive, but because there's only one truth. But mm-hmm. if you leave truth and you reject truth, whatever the truth is on any subject, how many paths of falsehood are there?
Oh, man, you can make up your own truth.
It's infinite. That's right. And so that's what this means. There's one truth, the true God, Jesus Christ, his path. And if you follow the truth, that's a narrow path.
Yeah.
Even though it's broadly open to everyone, there's only one truth. But if you reject truth, then there's a wide, in fact, infinite number of falsehoods and lies and distortions people can tell themselves. And so the man of lawlessness is going to ultimately be walking the broad road of deceit and lies. And there's lots of ways to be lawless, if you will. Let's go and unpack this. And so we're going to start with 2 Thessalonians 2:1. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered in him, don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed. So the reason this is important for us is because most of us today look around the world and we say, you know, Jesus is coming, must be soon. Yeah. Look at what's happening in the world, but it's not going to happen before the man of lawlessness is revealed. And as I understand what this is describing, as people reject the truth about God, the natural result is that the hearts and minds of people harden. Their consciences are seared. Reason becomes corrupted. Lusts become inflamed. Characters become warped. And there's more selfishness and villainy and exploitation and willingness to harm others. This is what happens as people reject God and reject the Holy Spirit. This occurs because God is a God of love, and he actually gives people real freedom. You can't force love, and so if people say, get out of my life, then God withdraws. And if we insist on rejecting him, he withdraws himself, tells his angels to step back and leave people to experience what life is like without God's grace and mercy and sustaining power and protective hand. And the fruits of living outside God's law is revealed, increasing chaos, disorder, anarchy, crime, abuse, destruction, and ultimately death. And we're seeing all this happening in the world today as godless evolutionism has become the predominant belief system, having been taught around the world for the last several generations. In this modern world, society is not entering an age of enlightenment, but is becoming ever more debased. For those who have eyes to see, the man of lawlessness is being revealed. And the next phrase after the man of lawlessness is revealed is the man doomed to destruction.
Yeah.
That's what the Bible is.
Yeah.
Doomed? Doomed? Yes, Satan is doomed to destruction because, get your mind around this now, God is the creator. His laws are the laws upon which life are built to operate. If you break or step out of harmony with those laws, then you take yourself out of harmony with the basis of life. And the only outcome then is destruction. The Bible doesn't say that God will have to use power to kill the person. This would be the same as saying those who jump off the Empire State Building are doomed to destruction, or those who tie a plastic bag over their head and break the law of respiration are doomed to destruction. So this man of lawlessness, breaking the very laws that God built life to operate upon, the only outcome from that is destruction.
No, wait a minute, Dr. Jennings, are you talking about what Christ said in Eden? If you eat this fruit, you will surely die. He was talking about getting out from under God's rule and God's laws and God's guidance?
Yes, that was the same thing.
Wow.
It's all the same. All sin is lawlessness.
Yeah.
And so all sin breaks God's design law, and the wages of sin is death. Sin, when full grown, brings forth death, James chapter 1. Those who sow to the carnal nature from that nature reap destruction, Galatians 6:8. So it's all the same. God's laws, the laws of life,
yeah,
And if you break them, the only outcome from that without intervention from our Savior to remedy or heal it, which is the plan of salvation and what God's grace has been doing through human history, holding at bay the inevitable destruction so that salvation can come for those who want to be reconciled and have God's law written back into our hearts and minds, Hebrews 8:10, they will have the principles of life restored within them, and thus they are reconciled to God and they have eternal life as the gift from God. This is what Scripture is teaching. But continuing on with this lawlessness quote.
Yeah.
It says, he will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. So this man of lawlessness, who's doomed to destruction because he's actually deviating from the very protocols life is built upon, somehow sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Now, Paul wrote this around AD 65. Mm-hmm. Jesus has already died on the cross. He's already risen from the dead. He's already ascended to heaven. He's already taken his throne in heaven. He's already ruling from his heavenly temple. Is Paul suggesting that at the end of time, somehow this man of lawlessness, whoever it is, rises up into heaven, knocks Jesus off his heavenly throne, and begins to rule in heaven?
No.
This is not what he's saying.
No, no.
So it's not the heavenly temple. It's also not the temple in Jerusalem. Yeah. So what temple is this? This is the Spirit temple. This is where the Holy Spirit, this is where God is to dwell through his Spirit. And somehow this lawless person sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. And Satan does this by replacing the truth about who God is with a false construct of who God is, primarily by replacing in the Dark Ages church the idea that God's law works like human law, just a system of rules that require God to use his power to punish rule breakers, and thus God is presented as an imperial dictator and his laws are just made up rules rather than God as creator. And then the whole world worshiped this beastly version of God, and they thought it was righteous to burn people at the stake for speaking things that you didn't like, or to have wars, call them crusades, and go kill people who believe different than you, or have an inquisition and imprison people who believe different than you. They thought this was righteous. How? Why? Because they thought God runs his universe that way. He makes up rules and uses power to punish rule breakers. That's all part of the setting himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. It goes on to say, don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things, and now you know what is holding him back so that he may be revealed at the proper time. See, this man of lawlessness is being held back. Elsewhere, John describes that God sends his angels to hold the four winds of strife to prevent the winds from harming the world in Revelation chapter 7. God has been holding, to a certain degree, Satan's forces in check throughout human history so that the plan of salvation can be realized. But as people approaching the second coming of Christ harden their hearts, and the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit on earth is the Spirit temple, as they harden their hearts against God and rebel against him and refuse his mercy, reject his love, despise his grace, and deny that he even exists, they sear their conscience, they warp their reason, they destroy the very faculties that are sensitive to the movement of the Spirit of God, and God eventually withdraws his presence and leaves them free of his presence, and billions of people do this, and we see the world become more despotic. We see satanic forces acting with greater and greater freedom. And the four winds loosen what they've been holding back, and we see chaos, abuse, suffering, destruction. The man of lawlessness is being revealed. For all who have eyes to see, look at what's happening in the world as godlessness, communism, and all these godless ideologies take root in the hearts and minds of men. The world is not becoming a utopia of greater peace and love. It's becoming more vile, more debased, more corrosive, to the point that people don't even know basic facts like there's a man and a woman and there's male and female anymore. The Bible goes on to say, for the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so until he is taken out of the way. Yeah, Satan has been fighting against God on planet Earth since the time Adam fell. God has been holding him in check, but Paul describes that one day God's restraining power is taken out of the way when enough human beings harden their heart and the Spirit is withdrawn. And then the lawless one will be revealed. And then the lawless one will be revealed. And that's what we're seeing today. We have seen this happen throughout history. In the Dark Ages, what we saw when the imposed law God was embraced by the church, what we saw at that time was that the imposed law God led to false religious rule of loss of liberty, crusades, Inquisition. See, there was no freedom of speech. You couldn't criticize the church in the Dark Ages. Right. If you were a heretic, you were punished by the state, arrested. You lost your freedoms. You couldn't assemble and hold alternative worships if you wanted to. You saw that people were persecuted. There was no free information. You couldn't print books that criticized the church. Bibles were restricted even. People didn't have access to them. So there was religious propaganda passed off of truth. Notice when the truth of God was exchanged for this imperial dictator view, the methods that were used. Now look at what's happening today. Yeah. As the lawless one sets itself up as if there's no God, what do we see? Humanism, scientism, evolutionism, communism, and the exact same fruits of the Dark Ages. Loss of freedom, coercion, propaganda, abuse, restriction on worship, restrictions on speaking out against the system. Look what happened during COVID. Houses of worship were shut down. You didn't have the freedom to travel. You didn't have freedom of assembly. You couldn't criticize the mandated injections, or you were deplatformed. You were vilified. You were called a people hater and a person who wanted to kill people. But notice the methods that were used coming out of godlessness. The man of sin or man of lawlessness is being revealed.
Now, Dr. Jennings, you're scaring me. What are those of us who love God and want to be a witness to others, what are we supposed to do during that time?
During the last 3 years, what I did is I kept speaking out against the methods and principles of God and contrasting them with the methods of God's enemy, that we never use the methods. You cannot advance God's kingdom using Satan's methods. So you can't advance God's kingdom of love by using coercive pressure to punish people who won't love you. It's truth presented in love, leaving people free. If you believe that there is some treatment that would help save someone's life, the godly way and the historic way medicine is always practiced is to present that treatment with the known risks and side effects and then leave the adult, intelligent patient free to decide whether they want that treatment or not. And that's why in America anyway, Jehovah's Witnesses who refuse blood transfusions were allowed to refuse blood transfusions even if it could save their life because of their religious objections. We would explain to them, but we would never force them to take a blood transfusion. This is the principles of God's kingdom. But when we lose the principles of God's kingdom, what do we do then? We say, well, we're going to restrict your ability to travel. You can't visit your family member in a nursing home. You can't assemble and worship God the way you want to worship him. You can't keep your job if you don't take this medical treatment that we want you to take. And of course, it's only because we love you and want to save your life. If you don't accept Jesus the way we tell you, we will burn you in the stake because we want to save your eternal soul. It's only your eternal soul we want to save. We're only going to burn you because we love you.
Yes. Well, okay. End on a positive note here, Dr. Jennings. What's a Christian to do in the face of all that?
Keep their eyes fixed on Jesus. Recognize these things. Don't allow fear and the manipulations of the world. Recognize that the methods of lawlessness are not breaking rules. They're actually breaking the very fundamental protocols in which life and health are found. You cannot have peace, joy, and love while you're exploiting another human being. You will only become more fearful and more insecure if you do that. But if you forgive those, if you love your enemies, then you actually grow in grace and in godliness, and you actually experience more peace and more restoration. Restoration of Christ-likeness within your own soul.
Well, this has been an eye-opening program. Thank you, Dr. Jennings, for this. I invite you, listener, to comeandreason.com. You can listen to this program again. You can get a lot of resources and books and podcasts and television programs and all kinds of wonderful material to shine that light, not only in your life, but in the life of others. That's at comeandreason.com. Dr. Jennings has been with us via Skype. Dr. Jennings, thank you so much for sharing your heart today. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Charles.
This program was sponsored by Come and Reason Ministries. And until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Jennings, wishing you God's presence in your life. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for spending time with us today. To continue the journey, I urge you to visit comeandreason.com. Here you'll find many excellent resources to help you gain a deeper understanding of the God we all love and serve. That's at comeandreason.com. This is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Jennings, inviting you to join us the next time we come and reason together.